glad you guys could join us today. If you caught my update online yesterday, you probably already aware that we're doing something a little special. We recently had a group of people from this church that were able to go down south to help with the fire relief efforts down in Southern Oregon. If you guys, well, if you're Oregonians, you know there were some major fires over Labor Day weekend all throughout the state. And actually, those specific fires, I was down there visiting family, so definitely got to experience them firsthand. We had to evacuate a couple times. Praise the Lord, their house wasn't touched, but unfortunately, there were many people that were, their lives were affected forever in that I think over 3,000 homes got burned down, and there were whole neighborhoods that were basically annihilated in the towns of Talent and Phoenix, which are in between Ashland and Medford. So there is an organization called Samaritan's Purse. A lot of you guys are probably familiar with them. They have a lot of ministries, Operation Christmas Child, and one of the other major ministries is they provide relief efforts for catastrophes that have happened in the United States and other countries. And we were fortunate enough a couple years ago to work with them over in Kauai. They had some major flooding, and so send a team over there. I didn't get to go on that trip, but Pastor Michael kind of led that one and just came back kind of just with glowing reviews about how the organization was totally Jesus-focused, all about presenting the gospel, all about doing work in Jesus' name, showing his love to others, and just really dialed in, like very professional. Like, they basically take care of everything. All you got to do is take care of transportation. You show up, and once you're there, they put you up, they feed you, they provide all the tools and stuff. And so that is what we did. We took a team of seven down there to Southern Oregon, and it was very much like he described. They had everything set up. There was a big local church down there that kind of housed their headquarters and housed us, and we bunked there. They fed us, and we got to take part in specifically going through wreckage to look for valuables for people. And so how it works is people put in a request, and then they have like this backlog. I think when we left, they had a backlog of over 600 homes where people had put requests to help to look through the remains for stuff. And they had gotten through roughly about 300 of those by the time we left. We did an average of 3 to 4 homes a day. And basically, all the neighborhoods pretty much look the same. If you've ever been a part of a fire, it doesn't leave much. It burns so hot, so all you had was maybe a steel frame left of like a manufactured home and a bunch of ash. And so we would sift through that ash or dig through it with a rake to look for things like coins, jewelry, maybe specific things like this one home we were looking for, a gravestone that they had kind of, they didn't have money to do like a grave memorial at a cemetery. So they had a gravestone that they had made and they cast it in concrete. And so just all types of variety of things. But you know, a lot of the stuff pretty much destroyed. I mean, even the coins you'd find were pretty much unrecognizable and stuff. So, but having said that, we did it clearly in Jesus' name. I mean, the leaders of the teams make it clear that the thing to people like, hey, we're here doing what God commands us to do. We're called to love our neighbors. And so thank you for allowing us to do this to you and just making it clear why we're there. And you could see people just blown away by the fact that somebody would take the time away from their busy lives just to show up. Some people showing up from all the way, like I think the furthest people that we got to work with were from Michigan or New Jersey or the East Coast, basically, that they would come all the way from there or Astoria or wherever else and just go through their ash and help them find things. It really opened their heart up. I mean, people that maybe were standoffish when we first got there, just softening, and then there would be Samaritan's Purse has dedicated chaplains that are trained by them, and after we start working, they usually show up and kind of divert their time to the homeowners, just seeing where they're at spiritually, seeing how they're doing emotionally, and sharing the gospel with them. And at the end, seeing if they want to receive Jesus. And at the end of our time, we would pray with them, and they get presented with a study Bible. And it's all signed by all of us. And it was just really, really cool, because at the end of the day, all we were doing was nothing labor intensive. We were just sifting through ashes. But the Lord took that meager offering, that 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he really did a miraculous work down there. By the time we had left, I think over 72 people had been saved over the first 2 weeks of them just being there. And they're still down there working right now. And we had at least one person on each of our job sites daily that placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so it was really miraculous to see God work in that way. And just a good reminder that God is at work. He wants to be at work right now. He would have come back to get us if I, like I was praying earlier, if he wasn't done. There's people out there to be saved, lots of them. And the best way that he works is through his love being shown, so people can see how real he is. Amen? So what we're going to do today is I'm just going to give you some background why we do this, why we kind of explain about our trip and give you guys a report. We see an example of this in Scripture in Acts 14 with Paul and Barnabas. After Paul gets saved, he goes on this missionary journey. He goes to a bunch of different places. And then him and Barnabas come back to their home church in Antioch. And it says in chapter 14, verse 24 or 26, they sailed to Antioch where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So they go back to their home church where they had been commended, or they had been sent out by people to give a report of all God had done with them. I like that. It wasn't all they did for God. It was like, guys, you got to hear what God did through us. And like in us, basically how he answered all your guys' prayers. You guys commended us. You sent us out. You prayed for us. And now I'm going to tell you how he listened to those prayers and what he did. And so we follow that same example because it's encouraging to hear how God is answering our prayers. It's encouraging to hear how real God is, seeing evidence of his glory. And that's one of the main things or the reasons we're supposed to give our testimonies of how he's working in our life, because it encourages each of us. So I'm going to have, we had three, like I said, there were seven people that went on the trip. We had three of them share testimonies in the first service. We're going to have three others share it this service. You might want to go online and actually listen to the last one so you can hear the amazing testimonies there. But first person I'm going to have come up is going to be Marcus Handy, and he is going to share with you guys what the Lord showed him or spoke to him in this trip. So go ahead and give Marcus a round of applause. He's our youth pastor.
Thanks, Chris. You know, it must be the Lord, because I've got like a page of notes here. Lots of stuff to say. Just kidding. I do have some stuff to say, but I just want to pray first. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share about the work that you've done and to give you glory. Lord, just pray that your testimony would be inspiring, and God, that people would walk away glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we rode down to Southern Oregon, five or six guys in one rig and two guys in the other, and it was a good trip. We had some worship tunes provided by Brenton. That was fun. But when I reflect on the trip, I mean, there's just so much that stands out. There's so much kind of overwhelming imagery. When we got there and we got to our first job site, I mean, it was just utter devastation. I know Pastor Chris talked about this, but it almost looked like a bomb went off. I don't know, some of you like movies, think about Terminator 2 when that nuclear bomb goes off and there's just nothing left but rubble, burned out cars. I mean, it's so hard to take in, and just emotionally, this was somebody's home, not much left. And so that was, and then you look at the devastation and you think to yourself, man, what am I even doing here? I mean, what am I going to, I can't fix this. I've got no power to make this better, you know? And how's the Lord possibly, and I just confess my own lack of faith, how's the Lord possibly going to use this to save somebody? I mean, there's nothing, what are we even going to do? So we get there and we look at that. And the Lord provided me like a week-long object lesson, I think, to kind of set me up for a teaching that I was going to do when I got back. This is exactly where we were in the Word of God. We were in Matthew 6. And I'll just read to you. These are the verses I taught from. I mean, it was on the schedule from when I came back. So here's Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here Jesus is just making this point about the uncertainty of worldly wealth, of houses, of money. I mean, and it just every day I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, okay, this is making sense to me. The things in this world are not secure. You can't take them with you. But you can take, you can send wealth ahead in the spiritual sense. You can secure for yourselves treasures in heaven. And the Lord's exhortation, just where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's important. It's an important point because it's easy to get consumed with, you know, my stuff, my house, my money, my this, my that, and realize that's not the purpose of life. It's not. The purpose of life is an eternal dwelling that we have with Christ, right? Everything else burns. Everything else fades away. So that was just a powerful lesson the Lord showed me that that week, and it was a blessing and an opportunity to go there and lay up treasure in heaven just by serving the Lord. Other things that stick out, I just remember walking through the trailer parks, and they got hit particularly hard. I think that had a lot to do with their relationship to the fire, but also what they were made out of, just a lot of plastics, a lot of super flammable stuff. And they just, I mean, the trailer parks were just devastated. Nothing but ash. The foundation was all that was left, just the steel beams and the concrete blocks that everything was set on. That's all that was left. I mean, besides some ash here and there. It also made me think of this another passage in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to turn there real quick, hopefully. I wrote down the page numbers, but I didn't tab it out, so just bear with me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's talking to the church there at Corinth, and he's talking about building upon the foundation of Christ. So I'm going to read this to you, starting in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the idea that, you know, you're not, whatever you build on, it's not even going to last unless you have the foundation of the Lord, unless you're saved. And he goes on, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. That was just super vivid imagery that Paul uses, and again, it's like after seeing all that devastation, I was just reminded of the fact that you know, unless we're doing works in Christ, it's not going to last. Unless we're building on the true foundation of what the Lord has already done, His salvation. Unless we're operating His Holy Spirit, it's not going to be. It's not something that's going to be a reward for us in heaven. It's something that's going to be lost. We just need to be careful. We need to be careful where the focus of our life is, you know. So that was a huge lesson. There's all kinds of other things that pop up. I don't want to be a Mike Hogg here. I've got literally six more things to talk about. But one thing I remember pretty vividly is the first day, I think it was even the first site we were at, we were searching for various items, and this lady's like, hey, I want this Buddha statue. And so we're digging through the rubble looking for this Buddha statue. You know, we're there to be a blessing and just to return people's belongings. We're not, you know, so that's what she wanted. So we're looking for it, and I was kind of like, oh, Lord, I hope she doesn't find this thing. Yeah. And I didn't say that out loud. That was just inside my head. But then actually, Brenton did find it, or pieces of it. He found, like, its head and kind of some smashed up bits of it. And I couldn't help but think about 1 Samuel 5, where the Philistines capture the Ark of God, and they, you know, they bring it in, they set it in their temple of Dagon, their god, and they're like, hey, check it out, our god beat your god. And they leave for the day, and they come back, and their god's fallen over, and then the next day, it falls over, and its head breaks off, and its arms break off, and here all we have is this mashed, mangled head of Buddha left. And I couldn't help but think, man, you know, that this lady, this poor lady, she's looking for her God in the fire, and there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Please find my God, just a reminder that, man, the Bible says that there's only one God, and there's only one name under heaven by which men might be saved. That's Jesus Christ. And so my heart really broke for that lady, really broke for her. I will say this, though, like Pastor Chris said, people were getting saved, and that was super encouraging and convicting for me. And I'm like, I'm going to sift through ash, and people are going to get saved. How does that work? Yeah. I mean, but God did do some miracles. I think Pastor Chris shared on this a little bit on Thursday night. But for those of you that, you know, haven't tuned in or didn't hear that testimony, I'll just kind of repeat a brief section of it. We went through another trailer, and we're looking for this lady's belongings. We found some things, and we found some drug paraphernalia. And you know, this lady said, you know, I'm a believer, so I mean, we found it. It survived the fire. We set it out there. I was, you know, again, I had one of these thoughts. I'm like, should I just, you know, smash this thing or chuck it? I mean, she doesn't need that, but I'm like, well, it's hers. You know, we're here to serve. So out it went in the line of all the, you know, the crockery that survived and everything else. And she came over and she looked at it, and she just broke down. She just broke down. Just started bawling her eyes out and just confessed her heart. Just said, you know, I've been talking to God. I've been telling him I need to get out of here. I need a fresh start. I need to get away from these things. And I know now that he's used this fire as a blessing, as a mercy to set me free so that I could start over. And I mean, it was just, she's praising God. I'm grateful that my children were here to see this. I'm grateful that God's taken everything away and given me the ability to start over. So it was just super humbling. Don't doubt the day of small things. Don't doubt the day of small things. Don't doubt that when you step out in faith and trust the Lord and do even humble acts of kindness in his name, that he can use them to bring people to repentance and to bring people to salvation. I think that's all I have, Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Marcus. We're going to go ahead and have Riley Meyer come up and share next. Go, Riley.
So yeah, like Chris was saying, I think there was about 70, 72 salvations that happened on the trip. And that's kind of the main thing that stood out to me. So that was at least one salvation that happened every day that we were there. And it was just something really special to see. You know, just the loss that people went through. Everything gone. And I've tried to put myself in homeowner's shoes just to, I don't know, try to relate and be at their level. And it was really hard because, you know, I get super angry and upset when I break or misplace something. And it was tough to see and tough to watch. You know, I'm sure that a lot of the people went through anger and denial at first, but for the most part, most of the homeowners that we talked to and helped out, I get nervous when I talk in front of people, so just bear with me. They were pretty accepting of what had happened. They seemed to, you know, be talking to the chaplains that were there or the volunteers, and just, you know, they seemed, most of them were pretty happy and pretty good spirits. And it was really cool to see that. And it just made me think, if I were in their shoes, how I would react. Like, I couldn't even imagine what was going through their minds and what just, yeah, it was so unreal. Yeah, seeing people being able to put all their faith and all their trust in God and devoting their lives to Him is what really stood out to me. Just seeing God work through people, showing His love through the volunteers and through other members of the communities and neighborhoods. I remember one lady telling me that she didn't even know her next door neighbor. I can't remember if she was down the street or just right next door. They didn't even know each other, and they had been living there for years. And it wasn't until the fires that happened that they actually started talking and getting to know each other and starting helping each other out. And it just shows you that was God's love working through them. And it was just an amazing thing to see. So, and, you know, it made me think of how much do we hold our things and our material things, our possessions, what's the importance of them? How high do we hold them? Because in the end, they're not really that important. What's important is what we have, our family, and what just God's love. Because everything that we went through, you know, even if we were to find something that was intact, you know, it was blackened or charred and stuff, but what really lasts is God's love. So
thank you, Riley. Each place we went, it was kind of a little different with the homeowners, because we would encourage, or the leader of the group would kind of encourage them, like, you guys don't have to do anything. We're here to serve you. We're here to love you. So we'd set up a chair for them. And after they kind of went through where they thought stuff was, and just kind of sit up, and we were encouraged to kind of like, hey, if they look like, you know, that they, somebody needs to be with them, somebody needs to support them, stay around them, talk to them, like, don't just get busy and working. And sometimes we got to be a part of those kind of spiritual conversations, you know, as far as sharing the gospel and stuff. And then sometimes it was just the chaplains, that kind of was their goal, like to be there for that, to see where they were at spiritually and stuff. But I can remember one instance where there was, we were serving these people that lost a mobile home, and there was a mother there. It was her home. But her daughter was there visiting back from college too, and she was sitting there. So I was working in ear's distance of like the chaplains, and they were talking to the daughter, and the daughter just really wasn't interested. She was, you know, explaining she holds to Native American beliefs and just wasn't really interested in hearing from the Bible and stuff. And I'm kind of hearing, and I'm praying at the same time, oh Lord, soften her heart, you know, like she's not wanting to hear. And so I guess I just kind of like kept working and kind of left, you know, didn't expect much at the end when we were going to present the lady that owned the house with the Bible or whatnot, because of what her daughter was saying. And I remember we were all kind of taking our coveralls off. It was the last job of the day, and we're standing there, and this guy, Chaplain Will, who we worked with a lot, comes around the corner with this lady just in tears, the owner of the house, saying, we got another sister in Christ, guys. And like the mom had accepted Jesus, like right then and there, despite like her daughter having no interest, didn't really matter. Like that lady was just ripe, and she was moved by people showing her love. She had been somebody that had been in the church before and kind of left for a long time, but always just wanted like to go back. And like this was what she needed, just to see God's love for her and see her need for Him, and came around, and she was just so thankful. So you just never know. You never know, right? Like we're called to just chuck seed. You plant the seeds. God's the one that waters and grows. And I've seen some people that I would never thought, to my shame, could be saved. And I'm probably the leading candidate of that. But, man, they're just no match for God's love and seeing their need for Him. So Last but not least, we're going to have David Phillips come up here and share. Where's Dave? Is he coming? There he is.
I'm like, oh no, they're going to give David the mic. Anybody been in a fire before or seen the results of a fire or been at war? It felt like we went to war, and it was absolutely astonishing to see the devastation that took place. Anybody emotional here? I'm kind of emotional. I can cry easy at a Hallmark commercial, you know, and when you see those people right before you start crying, it is so hard to hold it back, you know, and I cried right along with them. And a couple of these people that Pastor Chris had mentioned and Riley, that when they accepted the Lord right there and they started crying, and Pastor Will, one of the chaplains that came out and said that she had received Christ, it was so emotional. You know, you can see how the angels are rejoicing in heaven when someone comes to the Lord. It says that they're throwing a party. And I could feel that in my heart, you know. And the word calls us to be like-minded. And I'm like, well, if I get up here and I just talk the word, then I can't go wrong. But the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, sisters of mine, you did it for me. And so as you're going through the rubble and the sifting of ashes, Bible verse after Bible verse, just, I mean, it's like a complete Bible study of verses that the Lord is bringing to you. And it says, when you seek me, you'll find me, you know, and in all of this, you can find Christ. And the couple that met each other on one of the jobs that we were on, they'd never talked to each other before. But they have something in common right now because they both got a Bible, and I'm sure that they'll be friends for the rest of their lives, possibly, you know. The rapid response team that Samaritan's Purse performs is miraculous. How well these people got it together. And their Samaritan's Purse presents the needs to God's people. Then they trust the Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of those whom he wants to participate in meeting those needs. That was amazing. And this, their high-end trucks and all of the equipment that they have, they tell you right there that they know they got a lot of money in this, but they use it wisely. And they trust in the Holy Spirit. And it was just so awesome to see the team of chaplains that they had there and how their hearts were really given to this mission of rapid response and helping someone. Paul tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And that's not easy to do. Sometimes you don't feel for your brothers and sisters as much, but when you're out there in the field like that, I can see how that can happen really easy. And it does take a special breed, it seems like, at times. But I want you to know that those people, and the Bible backs us up in the Word, that if you prayed for any of these people on any of these missions, you are just as blessed as the person that went. And that's amazing. And you can feel it in your heart, and you know that you know. Be harmonious, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. That's been the hardest thing in my whole Christian life, is to be humble. It's hard to do that when you're soaring with turkeys, they said. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, some translations say horrible, and the elements will melt fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And that's all I could think of when I'm going through this stuff. One of the obligations that I felt there as a disciple of Christ was to mourn with them when they were mourning. And once you put yourself in a person's place of somebody that lost something dear to them, you feel the love of Christ enter you, you know. And only a Christian that's born again can actually really feel that love of Christ. And I like, it's like, man, I'm the last one, but everybody stole my verses. Marcus. Building on that foundation. I remember Pastor Mike telling me years ago when I wanted to call my construction company the foundation. Said, oh, no other foundation can be built on except that of Christ, you know. Everything else will eventually burn away. And the things that matter that are saved through the fire will be those that we put into Christ. And that's the main mission. If you don't know Christ today, put your trust in him, because time is short. And we can seek those things that we can do for Christ, and he'll bring them to us. And it was really wonderful going along with this team. I tried to get on several mission trips, and I got to go one years ago down to Mexico. And but all the other ones that I tried to go on, I couldn't make it. But this one I was able to, and I'm really grateful. And this church that we went to, the Nazarene, oh, my gosh, the campus is, I thought Applegate was a huge campus. These guys got it going on there, and you can tell the prospering that's going on is because they're completing the mission that God has given them. And you know what's neat? We have that same thing right here. We have 15 acres, and we have an awesome pastor and a wonderful thing that's going on. So keep praying and keep being involved. And it was awesome to be with you guys. Thank you.
You know, Dave touched on something that I felt led to share too. Something that was cool is that you've got all these different Christians showing up from all these different denominations, right? And in, you know, one thing that breaks my heart kind of in, as a pastor, is just kind of seeing division in God's church. Because I know that, like, front to back of the Bible, that's something it teaches. Like, we're not to be divided. I mean, we can disagree on things that are non-essential and stuff, but we don't divide. You know, it's unity, unity, unity. We're all part of one family with one head. And so in heaven, it's going to be like that. There ain't going to be like a coastline section or a new life section or this denomination. It ain't going to be like that, you know. Where we were just talking about this on Thursday. When people see us in heaven, all you're going to see is those white linens. You're just going to see that righteousness. And we're going to be known by the name that God puts on our forehead or whatnot. It's not going to be by anything else. And this was kind of like a glimpse of that, because there was no agendas, no like our denomination's better than yours. It was just like, man, we're just here to serve Jesus together with our brothers and sisters. And that's how we should be all the time. But it was cool just to be get a taste of that what it's going to be like in heaven, and see that we can be like that now. Amen. All right. Well, first service, we tried to show this video at the beginning, but I think the Lord shut it down because he's like, I want to show it at the end once people have heard what, like I did, so that you can kind of put some pictures to the stories that you've heard. So we're going to show a video right now that we put together, just a slideshow, so you guys can kind of see some of the things the Lord did down there. Little running joke was I seemed to be, the pastor was the one that always seemed to find the crosses buried in the rubble. So whether it was like a cross, a little ornament, or a cross like necklace, that was the thing. I kept finding the crosses. So thank God's sense of humor. Anyways, I felt led to share just this passage with you guys. It was something the Lord personally just reminded me of while I was down there. And David, not everyone stole yours. You stole my verse, so just to let you know. But it's all right. It just means the Holy Spirit was kind of unifying us in this. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives this parable, and he's talking about the great white throne judgment that's going to come at his end of his millennial reign, after the 1,000 years he's ruling and reigning on earth, and we're ruling with him, that comes after the tribulation. And if you want to know more about that in detail, tune in Thursday, because we'll be in that chapter in Revelation. But he gives this parable talking about it, and he talks about the difference between believers and unbelievers. He refers to believers as sheep and unbelievers as goats, and kind of talks about some distinguishing differences. And this is what he has to say about believers. It says in Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man, that being Jesus, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. This is going to be us, guys. And he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, when you did it to other people, you did it to me. And there's two things that really stick out to me in that passage, or stuck out to me, that I wanted to share. One was that what he distinguishes believers. Basically, there's a whole bunch of different things he uses as an example that believers do as far as like helping those in need. But ultimately, it's all rooted in the greatest commandment that he gives us in Matthew 22, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor. Jesus said in the Gospels that people would know we're his disciples by what? Our love for one another. All those things are rooted in love. That it's not an if. I mean, this is what his people, this is what his believers, how he distinguishes them. He's like, you guys showed love. You showed love to people. You had compassion on those that needed help. You were there for them. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, like he tells them, when you were doing that stuff, you were doing that to me. That's where you're going to find Jesus. For all of us that know him and want to know him even better and want to have a close relationship where we're abiding and we're seeing his glory in our life, we're experiencing him, you're going to do it. You're going to experience that through loving other people, through being there for them, through being his hands and feet. Because one of the reasons Jesus came was to what? Heal the brokenhearted. To be with those that are hurting. To be, like, for these people that lost everything in this world, to be what the world never could be for them. Everything they're looking for, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. Amen? And here's the thing. You don't have to go down to Southern Oregon to do that. To do those things. Every single moment of your days, every day, you have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do these things. To show love for your neighbors, to show love to your kids, to show love to your spouse, to show love to your coworkers, all in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where you'll find him, because he will use that and multiply it and bless it and reveal his love to those that don't know him, and to those that do, show his glory through you. Amen. And in these times that we're in right now, where we know his return soon, I was reminded that, man, he's not done. In 2 weeks, over 70 people getting saved in one location. He would be back if he was done. There are tons of people out there that need to know Jesus, that are ready and willing, and all it's going to take is us to show his love to them. Amen? And I'm hoping that's just a word, in the sense that sparks something in us as we leave here. Because like I said, you're going to have tons of opportunities today to do just that. You're going to have them tomorrow. You're going to have them the rest of this week. And I'm looking forward to just hearing how the Lord's going to use it. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up here. And I just encourage you guys, as we have this time of response, as we sing one last song of praise to God, we'll have our prayer team up around the room too if you need prayer. But, you know, do some business with God and ask him, how does this apply to me? One of the guys shared last service how if you're waiting for like the time to be right for like something the Lord's kind of putting on your heart, maybe a ministry or something to do in his name, something to show his love to other people, that time ain't ever going to be right. It ain't ever going to be perfect. The time to do it is like right now. To be a doer of God's word is always right now. We don't want to walk out that door and say amen and then never do it. There's a whole difference between agreeing with what God says and actually being a doer of it. So like, if the Lord is prompting your heart right now for something that he's a burden he's put to show his love to someone in your life, someone in this community, a people group, just talking to Britton about this. We were on a walk earlier this week, and we were talking about all the different opportunities to show God's love, all these needs in the community, whether it's feeding the homeless through a ministry that's called Feeding Hungry Bellies, I think that's what it's called, or, you know, serving and helping out at the assisted living homes, whatever, endless opportunities to show his love. The time to do it's right now, because the time's short. And we don't want to waste any of it, that time that he's given us. We want it all to be used for him and his glory, and to get to see him do, like, the little taste of what we saw during that week. He wants to do that every day in your life. Isn't that what we live for, to see those glimpses of God and his glory? It's not that he doesn't have a powerful way to use you, or he doesn't want to use you. It's just so often I can just be unwilling, or I can just be too busy going about living my life instead of just slowing down and looking for those opportunities and using them the way that he wants to use me in them. Amen? So let's just take this time to seek the Lord and respond. If you need prayer for anything, come up and get prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for answering the prayers of all these people, answering our prayers on that trip. Just thank you for the brothers and sisters that have been brought into our family. Your kingdom has grown. It's still growing right now. Continue to pray your blessing on those people down there serving, your empowerment by your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses, to show your love. May there be fruit. May there be a great harvest. Just people continuing to be added to your kingdom, Lord. And Father, we want that same thing we did down there to be our everyday life. We see it all around us. We all know people that don't know you. We all know people that are not getting shown love by the rest of this world, because that's just the ways of the enemy. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is the flavor of the world, if you will. But we know we're called to be different. We're set apart. We're not of this world. We're just in it. And we're called to sacrificially love, unconditionally love, just as you've loved us. To care, to have compassion, to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who are mourning, rejoice with those who are rejoicing, to bear one another's burdens. And we're so thankful that we're not expected to do that alone. We have your Holy Spirit inside of us to help us reflect the same love you've shown us to others. And we just want to be faithful to step out and do that in the area that you've established us a position to do so. We know we're not there by accident. We're there so that others can have the same hope or sure expectation of good, so that others can have the same relationship we have with the King of the universe, so others can experience the same love that we have that has forever changed our worlds, Lord. Help us leave here with a sense of urgency, a revival, if you will, a new awareness for those around us, and a compassion that's the same as yours for him, Lord. In Jesus' name.